Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 259. My name's Turner Sparks.
I am Mikhail Kaplinsky.
You can find me at turnersparks.com. You can find me March 11th at the Friars Club in New York City, New York, USA, recording my new comedy album. Get tickets now at turnersparks.com. We need to fill that place. And Kaplan's already, all the cookies are already sold out. You can't buy any more cookies. So yep. Now's the time to buy comedy tickets, folks. It's a new hour. You haven't heard any of it. Come out, New York City. I need all your support. Kaplan's going to be there. The whole gang is going to be there. March 11th at the Friars Club, New York City. Now, Kaplan, and you can find Kaplan on all social media platforms at Cap'n America. And go ahead, Cap. I'll give you
the I say my uncle's going to be there. I'm going to have a good showing of Kaplan's.
Oh,
we're
going to
have a lot of Patreons. And we will. The Girl Scout cookies are still available. You missed out on your free shipping, but they're still available if you want them. And we've cleared 600. So thank you to the Pod Army. We've cleared over 600 boxes sold, and almost very few of them are done going door to door the old fashioned way. Most of them are online. So,
and for all of our new listeners, Kaplan is not a Girl Scout. He has a daughter, and she is a Girl Scout, and she's the one supposedly selling these cookies. But really it's, you know, Kaplan and his wife.
I mean, we went door to door the other day and she basically made me do all the talking. So I just need to get a sesh for next year. One of those Girl Scout vests, put it on.
She's just Misha, she's very good. She's 7 years old. She's from the next generation. They're very good on video. They know how to make Instagram videos, YouTube videos, but in anything, anytime they have to talk to a person in person, they clam up. They'd have no idea how to do it.
They don't know how to look at you. They look away.
Yeah, they can't make eye contact. It's a generation who haven't been outside in a few years.
The mask, they're covering the mask over their face. So, yeah.
But she's great on Instagram. She's great to a camera, which is really all you're going to need in the future.
It's the most important skill. They're teaching these kids right now in business. You don't need to go door to door anymore. That's over. So you
don't even need to make phone calls to people.
You just need to know how to make a good video. You need where to put the camera. You need how to be charming. Well,
and then you need to have popular parents.
That's parents with a lot of followers. Parents who know how to put a link in the story. You need to have parents who know what they're doing. So we're doing our best. We're learning as we go. Next year will be even better. So
she sold 600 cookie boxes, which puts her on the cookie council, which means you and I are now running the Girl Scouts.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Putin later, how he has designs on running other countries. We had designs on running the Girl Scouts from afar. They're our puppets.
It's a dream come true.
Ruby's our puppet leader. Yeah.
And now I need to pack all those people into March 11th at the Friars Club. We need all the Girl Scout moms and dads coming out to the Friars Club. Now,
is she open for you?
On today's podcast, you teased it for a second, but we're going to be talking about, we have Misha Kalin back, and we'll bring him in just a minute. But Misha, as you all know, was our man in Belarus for the longest time. Now he's our man in Ukraine. And wherever he goes, Putin goes. And so we'll get to that in a second. So if
possible,
you want to be attacked by Putin, invite Misha to move to your country.
It's just like
the way to do it. But now Vladimir Putin might be attacking Ukraine. We had Anton Timoshenko on a month or two ago.
And he said nothing to worry about, I think. He said, or he said, don't worry about anything until February. That's what he told
us. He told us we were overreacting. He poo-pooed it. He laughed us off. He said, you guys are idiots. They pretend like they're going to attack us all the time. It never happens. I guess it still technically hasn't happened yet, but it's seeming to be more serious. But before we get to that, Kaplan, if you want to support this show, which I know you do, go to patreon.com/lostinamerica. Free shipping's gone on the Girl Scout cookies. It's over. Yes, now over. It's patreon.com/lostinamerica.
We have free shipping always.
Always free shipping on our show.
Yeah, the pods come to you through the internet tubes for free.
For $5 a month, you get 3 extra episodes a week of me and Kaplan talking about our lives. This week, I'm talking about, I was in Naples, Florida last week, and then Marco Island, Florida. One of the shows was the best, one of the best shows I've ever done in my life. One of them was one of the worst. But if you want to find out which is which, you need to subscribe to patreon.com/lostinamerica.
And we're going to be talking this week. I have not attacked the New York City public schools in far too long. I've got a list of grievances, and I'm going to be, instead of showing up at a school board meeting and causing a viral scene, being a maniac, yeah. I yell at the pitch in the microphone.
Yes. And it goes,
that's how I got my message across.
The bully pulpit.
So it's going to be some good stuff next time we record.
And we had a few new, did we have people jump in this past week, Cap? Am I forgetting anyone?
Well, did we give a shout out? We did a proper introduction of whatever scoop.
Well, we have whatever scoop out there in, I know where he is now. Whatever scoop, I believe, is in Minnesota. Shout out to our Minnesota. Whatever scoop in Minnesota. And then we got Tug.
Tug.
And we don't know where Tug is. Tug's somewhere out in the world. But thank you to Tug. Thank you to whatever scoop. If you subscribe this week and tell us who you are, we'll give you a full proper introduction shout out on next week's show. Kaplan, now,
yes.
What do you know about what's going on here in Ukraine?
I know I'm not inviting Misha over to be a house guest anytime soon because God, you know, Putin just follows him around and just announced. So yeah, it's not safe to have him over. But yeah, I know when we talked about it, you mentioned it a month ago, right? He said it was just a bluff, our guest. I think he thought they weren't going to attack, but he did say Putin would attack in February because he likes
talking about Anton.
Anton said he likes to fight in the snow. You know, the it's a home field advantage. So I'm very concerned because now it's the dead of winter. So I think that now that Putin's got, he's got 30,000, he's got 5,000 troops I saw on the border in Belarus. He's going to add another 25,000, they say, soon. So he's got troops everywhere.
Wait. I think you're off there. He has 100,000
total. Right. Total.
Belarus. Yeah. So Putin's got now 30,000, I've read, is the update. I read today's update. 30,000 troops in Belarus alone, which I didn't even know he owned Belarus.
Yeah, military should mention it to us.
Why it would be odd to have another country's military on your border to attack a third country.
Exactly.
That's a new one on me. But we're going to have to figure out if maybe Belarus is just run by Russia at this point.
It seems like, you know, we're Sleepy Joe is getting involved. Joe Biden is he's making some name. He's basically saying it's going to be a problem if they go in. He called it a minor incursion at first. He got off to a tough start. He said, we don't like minor. And then he said, no, I shouldn't say that. You know, so then he said, we're going to do something about it. I saw Boris Johnson is talking about it. The leader of England, who's, you know, all the big guns. He's going to go visit Kiev next week.
So no, he's there right now.
Oh, he's there right now. I get my news.
You're reading news from a week ago.
I think
he's literally in Kiev as we speak. Boris Johnson is meeting with Zelensky right now as we're on the air. They're supposed to be doing a press conference some point soon. By the time this comes out, they will have already done the press conference. But we're waiting on it right now. I'll take over from here, Cap. So the EU, the UK, the United States have all said if Russia invades Ukraine, there's going to be issues. But the big issue for me is that the last time Russia invaded Ukraine, everybody just kind of let them do it. So if I'm Russia, who am I scared of? Yeah, you said you might do something last time. You didn't do anything. So this time, what are we scared of? So now, Misha Kalin, welcome to the show. I want to start with your story specifically, though, because as you know, as most of our listeners know, you're from Belarus. You were in Belarus for a long time with the family. That became an untenable place to live. You guys all got out. You got to Kiev. And in Ukraine, and now Russia's set its sights on Ukraine. So how's it going for you in Ukraine?
Hey guys, it's good to be back.
Welcome.
You're live from your bunker. There we see.
You're in a date. So if anyone hears background noise, Misha's in a nightclub in Ukraine, which I assume all Eastern Europeans are in nightclubs 24 hours a day.
It's like the Roaring Twenties there.
He found a side room and he's doing this from there. So thank you for joining me.
Yes. Well, yeah, there's an orgy going on. I have a little curtain just to kind of shield me from the splatter, you know?
Yeah.
Listen, first of all, it's funny your Ukrainian guest didn't mention that technically Ukraine's been at war for the last 8 years. And throughout this whole time, there were sporadic events that, people would die. In fact, regularly, you would hear news about people dying. So some kind of military action has been going on continuously since 2014. So that's sort of the beginning, right? And so when they say, hey, are you afraid of war now? I think the answer is just as afraid as before, which is not really that afraid, you know, because it's so uncertain. You know, at some point you have to think about it, right? Any one of us can walk out of our house, right, and get hit by a car or just die, right? So it's kind of one of those fears that, the chances of war are high or low, but in the end of the day, it's either going to happen or it's not going to happen. And meanwhile, you either let it affect your life or not. And meanwhile, all this shit has been happening, but I've been doing better than ever, you know?
You're thriving in this.
How are you doing? Besides being in an Eastern European nightclub.
This is his... Yeah, he's having a party over there.
You thrive under... I do. I've known Misha a long time. Misha thrives under conflict. So this actually is a good time for Misha. For you.
Yeah, exactly. It's been working out really well.
He's on deck for the orgy.
Yeah. I mean, stand-up is going well. I've been making videos. Today I had a photo shoot and everything. And I'm with you guys. That's huge, you know, for me.
So how did career. You... So your whole family... I love how blasé you are about this impending war.
It's a different perspective, you know.
Well, I'm definitely not going back to Belarus, so I don't give a shit. You know, I'm just gonna keep going where there is no war. So, for me, nothing but changes. You know, and when we say war, right? What exactly do we mean, right? Because we are at a weird time, because just 20 or so years ago, Russia thought that they were gonna take Chechnya like it's nothing, you know, in a day or 3 days, and we all know what that turned into. So war is a tough, you say there's thousands of tanks and troops and whatever, but what if they start moving inwards? At this point, Ukrainian army is well equipped, right? Way better than in 2014. They've got drones and a whole other modern weapons that can just obliterate all these tanks and especially infantry. So old school weapons are really not that effective. Russia can't really, you have to think about the cost of victory. Right, because Russians, in essence, when I was born, right, it was the same country, right. So now I can just be adamant about saying, I'm Belarusian and everything. But in the end of the day, when I was born in 1985, it was still one country, and I was in the city of Minsk. But Kiev, where I'm at now, was just another city in the same country, and Moscow. That we're talking about, right, is just another city in the same country. So, it was a while ago, but not that long ago. And killing people that are essentially just not too long ago were your fellow countrymen, that takes toll, right? And even just this, think about the emotional condition of the soldiers from the Russian side that are going in. Ukrainians are defending their land. They basically have no choice, right? And these guys, these young men, I'm pretty sure they don't, they listen to Ukrainian music, right? They watch Ukrainian movies. They come to Kiev on the weekends, or they used to more so, but even now.
There's no women in the Russian army?
There's no women.
No, they don't. Very well.
Ukraine is getting woke, but Anyway, Ukraine started recruiting women, but not Russia. I don't think Russia is
Putin. Yeah. Old habits.
Russia. No, dude, I think women are going to start wearing like corsets or some shit. They're going in a whole different direction. They're going into the medieval times, you know.
So what is the relationship then, or what was it? Because that's interesting. So when it was the USSR, these were all the same country. Did they act like how we act with states? Was it a similar relationship?
Yeah, you could say so. Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, I was going to say that it's just like, you know, Atlanta attacking Dallas or something like that, right?
That's crazy. And so what is the relationship between Kiev and Ukraine in general and Russia? Or what was it? Is Kiev, and because you said they watch what Ukrainian movies, is Ukraine like a more like hip, forward, artistic country? And that's where the art comes from, the USSR?
Well, I mean, listen, it was a huge journey for me to kind of figure it out. When I moved to Lviv, which is in Ukraine, in 2017, end of 2017, I started kind of exploring this issue because, for instance, Lviv is all, everybody speaks Ukrainian, or like 70% speak Ukrainian. Now, Kyiv, when I was there in 2017, 2018, it was pretty much Russian everywhere. Today, a few years later, it's... the people still speak Russian, but everything, like all the signs and all the service is pretty much in Ukrainian. So it's a long story, right? The whole interaction with Ukraine and the Russian Empire. I mean, Kyiv is called the sort of the beginning of all Russian cities. And again, we're going back to the definition of Russia, because originally the Rus part of Russia, right? The R-U-S, yeah, that comes from this sort of place. And Moscow, right, that was very heavily influenced by, like, Mongols and back in those days, right? That was kind of a different Asian influence, right? So Russia is sort of the product of that, this Rus influence from Kyiv. And I'm simplifying things, right?
Yeah.
But it's important to kind of understand this little... bit of history that from one perspective, we all come from the same sort of beginning, from the same source. But then over the years, there's been so many changes, and there's lots of things that we have in common, but there's also lots of differences. And now, of course, the Ukrainian society is drifting farther and farther apart from Russia, which was not the case even just a few years ago.
Yeah. And so, when your family, so your family now all got to Ukraine, right? Or,
well,
I mean,
sure.
Okay. For the purpose of this podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then does it feel like you guys are going to have to move again, or you're just like, no, we're staying no matter what?
Listen, I try to tell people that I've been just living my life, but people think I'm just leaving or coming back, you know, which I've never been doing that. You know, I've just been kind of living my life and just seeing how it unfolds, because really now is the place where nothing really changes. Like, these walls could be anywhere, you know, and I use the same app to get a taxi to wherever I'm going. And this is kind of a cool place where I'm at. It's called Karma, and Minsk also has Karma, and it started by the same people. You see, they chain. Moved from Minsk.
Everything's a chain.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
No, they moved. It's,
oh, they moved. Yeah. Okay. Oh, they moved. Okay.
Yeah, it's like a franchise that had to happen because of the political instability. Yeah. So right. But you see, the thing is here, I hang out here a lot, and people from my like Minsk life just come in here because lots of Belarusians come here. So everybody who's leaving or coming through Kyiv, they inevitably stop by here. And it's kind of surreal.
It's like the consulate. You know, that it's like the night consulate for yeah, Belarusians. The night consulate.
And dude, that's a really good one.
And when there's war, people party more. People, life is short. Women might have less. It's like vacation mode when there's war. You know, you just got to enjoy yourselves.
Well, yeah, life has more urgency. You
exactly, more urgency. That's the word I was looking for.
So, and then,
yeah.
How's the Belarusian community doing in Kiev? Because I know a lot of refugees came in. You came in like you had contacts and you had job opportunities and stuff like that. But I would imagine a lot of people didn't. They just kind of fled and got to Ukraine. How's is there like now Belarusian neighborhood and are people getting jobs and finding their feeding and stuff?
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. From my experience, it seems like everybody's they get adequate support. In fact, a lot of them aren't, I would say like some of my friends, you know, they could be doing more, you know, like, so yeah, I feel like people who need the help and they're, you know, they're vocal about it and they go and like look and ask instead of just sit and complain, you know, these yeah. people, but it's the usual story. You know, you get 6 months, it used to be 3 months, they double it, you get 6 months in the country. And some people manage to just do nothing for 6 months and then they have to leave. In sure. Georgia or something, but I did all my stuff within a month, you know, so it's,
you mean got all the paperwork done and got a job exactly. and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's group chats, you know, it's the 20, whatever first century, right? We have group chats, 21st. Any kind of support groups, special lawyers that actually do stuff here, you know, that's their professional services, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool. much, you know, there's a workflow there. I mean, I haven't heard too many. I mean, usually the bad scenarios are, you know, are not even that bad. And I definitely haven't heard any like super tragic cases where people are stranded and they don't know what to do. I think, yeah, I'm kind of proud to be a Belarusian as of, yeah, like I used to not care, you know, I just thought of myself as just, you know, Misha, you know, I didn't really care much about Belarus. But since like 2020, since those elections, I started kind of more feeling the pride that you Americans feel, you know.
Well, we have pride still? We used to.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Kaplan's in like a New York City bubble. He hasn't traveled the U.S. Of course, yeah. People still have pride. There's American flags everywhere.
That's true. We just don't have them in New York City.
What? So what about this 30,000 troops that are on the border of Belarus, but they're on the border, they're in Belarus on the border of Ukraine. How does, I think I know the answers to this, but how does Putin get 30,000 Russian troops into Belarus? Is Belarus now just essentially part of Russia?
They just had a merger basically in there.
I mean, we've talked about it for extensively, even on this podcast, right? I mean, first of all, we've been on the way, on the roadmap of becoming a one commonwealth, right? It's been already a commonwealth of two nations, Russia and Belarus. That's the official name. You know, like there's no customs.
Okay. I think, yeah.
I've mentioned it before. You travel without borders, right? You don't need a passport. So in that sense, it's already one country, right? Now, Belarus historically has been neutral in this whole conflict. That's why it was sort of put in the position as a mediator in 2014 and the events that followed that. But now, because they're basically forced by Putin, you know, they're very much in a dependent state. So of course, they are more. And of course, Lukashenko keeps playing his double game as he usually does, you know, but now he has to kind of, I mean, he was very much adamant about not acknowledging that Crimea belongs to Russia, you know, but I think he's, you know, more kind of likely to do it now, and he's more likely to take the Russian side. And I mean, I hope to God that never happens, but yeah, it's very hard for me to imagine Belarusian troops taking part in this in the event. I'll be honest with you, it's just, it's to me, it's highly unlikely. But you're right, you know, the the U.S. embassy and other foreign embassies here in Kiev are taking their people out, you know, so yeah.
When you say it's highly unlikely, you think the war in general is highly unlikely that a war happens?
Well, actually, no, like a world war might happen, you know, so I mean, I do believe something might happen, like you know, back in the day in the Balkans, right, when the First World War started. Like something like that is believable, you know, and then it's just all going to topple, you know.
Yeah.
But a Chechnya-like war with Ukraine, you know, I mean, they might – Russia can just, you know, bomb certain cities. That I can believe in. But, you know, we're talking millions
ground
of
troops. Yeah.
Yeah. Ground troops, I cannot believe, because into that's Ukraine. Just suicide. Yeah. Because, I mean, all you need is a Turkish drone or whatever, right? And you just, Azerbaijan showed how all of this works in Armenia, you know.
And we don't
Armenia
accept that result, but yes.
Well, I'm talking about just purely
reality. You know,
effectiveness over
right, yeah. Ukraine weapons. Has yeah. yeah. You mentioned it. They have what, like 100,000 more troops than they had in 2014. There's a much stronger army there.
Right.
But, but then they also are going to have the support of the United Kingdom, the United States, to some extent, and then the EU, and then
Germany sending them helmets. So there is that.
Was that Turkey?
Germany sending them helmets. They
Germany sending helmets. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Germany. We'll get into that in a minute. But who's supporting? So it's like it's essentially the world against Putin. If they go to war, I feel like Putin's going to get demolished. Am I missing something?
I mean, I guess we should probably sort of go back and try to determine what is Putin trying to do.
Yeah.
Right.
What's his angle?
I mean, the sort of the theory that I'm hearing is that that's his way to manipulate Biden, right, and make EU and the US talk to him and negotiate, right? And his demands are just ridiculous, right? He's basically saying he doesn't want NATO to expand. Not that NATO's been expanding, right? Like, that's not even an issue. Like, if you listen to Russian propaganda and you really study it, like, they live in the world where it's still the Cold War. And they think, you know, that the West is a threat. Meanwhile, nobody really gives a fuck about Russia, because honestly, it's not the evil empire anymore. It's a country that has GDP that's smaller than Italy, right? And it's got some rusty nuclear weapons that, I don't know,
might not even work.
Who knows, right? And meanwhile, they have these like awful issues that are going on in the prison system. I don't know if you've been getting those news. Essentially just repressions that are similar to what they were, what we experienced with Stalin, you know? That's essentially what's going on now.
Putin wants to have that sort of Cold War mentality. Like, he thinks the end of the Soviet Union was like the greatest catastrophe in the 20th century. You know, it's like a reverse look of the world. And he wants to bring it back.
Just to clearly, so his demands, from what I've read updated to today, he has three main demands. One, as you said, that NATO does not expand any further.
Doesn't include Ukraine.
If you look at a map of NATO, it used to just be Western Europe, and now it's Central and Eastern Europe. European countries have joined NATO. And the big issue is for that is if you attack one country that's in NATO, then you attack all of NATO. All of NATO, which includes the United States, the United Kingdom, will all go to war to defend. For example, Estonia is in NATO, right? And so he doesn't want that, because he wants to attack people and have no one defend them.
Exactly. And he
I guess that's his big thing. Number two, he says that, to not deploy strike weapon systems. Oh, he wants NATO to not deploy strike weapon systems near Russia's border. I guess that means like...
It doesn't make sense, because the Estonia that you just mentioned is just as close to Russia as Ukraine. Right.
Yeah.
And they can have weapons there. So that immediately is ridiculous. Right?
Yeah. So he doesn't want Ukraine to join NATO. He thinks that.
Which it wasn't going to, if you remember.
Exactly.
Well, that's been the problem since for years, though. They've wanted to, right? There's been a segment of it.
Yeah, you know why, right? Because they do not accept countries that have land disputes or any kind of conflict.
Right, so it's a pre-existing conditions. I think you made the joke last time, Turner, where like this is like insurance won't take you if you have a pre-existing condition.
Yeah.
So because NATO won't accept a country if they have troops in the border or there's a land dispute, because then it's like they got to go to fight war to defend it. And so as long as Russia keeps troops in Ukraine, right, there's never, NATO's never going to take them in. So that's part of his end game, right?
So he says, I will attack you so you don't join NATO.
Exactly.
But now he's kind of screwed because all the NATO countries, or a lot of them, are like, well, we're going to support them anyway. So now what's his move? And his third demand, which we're already, these are already too ridiculous for anyone to accept, but his third demand is that you take away military infrastructure from all the countries that joined NATO after 1997 or 1997 right. and on, which I think that, I guess that means all the Eastern European countries.
Yeah, so, exactly. I think he got a hard no on all of that.
And, yeah, he did.
And his fourth demand is Syracuse returns to the Big East. No,
so, Misha, do you think this feels like a bluff to you?
No, it's not a bluff. It's just his way of getting attention from Biden. And because, listen, nobody cared about him a year ago. And yeah. Now everybody does.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break right now, and then we'll be back in a minute. I want to find out how long, if Putin does attack, how long he has in power left. Kaplan, we are part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network, and that includes Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy and the Majoring in Everything podcast. That includes Professor Andrew Heaton and the Political Orphanage. He also has a show, I believe, called Friday Release Valve, which is a comedy show on Fridays that we're on regular. We're regular guests on.
Let's be honest, we're the best guests he's got. We're amazing.
Friends of the show. We are the show.
We are the show, exactly.
Please. And you can find all of us at worldsmartestpodcastnetwork.com. It also includes our show. And it's great. We do live shows. We got to figure out an LA live date coming up soon. We're going to be in Los Angeles. We're going to go to
Texas, at some point.
Washington, D.C. later this year, I believe. Yeah. And we'll probably do another one in New York City with great Donnie up at Stand Up New York. I would assume something like that. Kaplan. Also, Patreon, if you are a $20 a month Patreon subscriber, you get a free ad on this show once a month. I guess it's not free because you paid $20. But either way, we will promote whatever you want, whenever you want. We have tons of people that are 20 and up, and they haven't sent us anything recently. So if you're listening to us right now, Dennis Owens.
If there's any misinformation you want us to get out there about vaccines or anything else, we will do it for $20 a month.
Who cares? We don't care.
We don't care.
Yeah. Will Prechuck, the whole gang, anybody, give it to us. And now, Kaplan,
yes.
A word from your local sponsor. All right. We're back.
Thank you, sponsors.
Thank you very much for keeping us afloat over here. Now, Misha, we're talking about the possibility. To me, I could be wrong, but it looks like Putin has said, you said it's not a bluff, it's real. He does want the Ukraine to not be able to join NATO. He does want all the weapons to come off the Eastern European countries. But he just got a hard no from everyone in the West. And so now he's kind of painted himself into this corner where he either says, okay, sorry about that, and just goes home getting nothing, or he has to attack Ukraine, literally knowing, I would think knowing he's going to lose, but he has to attack just because to not look like a bitch. I'm not sure. Like to not look like he got screwed by the way, like to not look like he backed down.
He won't.
Is that where he's at?
I mean, honestly, what we hear from Russia, like all their official sources say that we were never going to start the war. So they're very careful about wording it, you know, and basically all the information is just based on the fact that they have troops on their own land, you know. So it's kind of the gray area that Putin can be like, hey, we're just having some skirmishes or whatever, right? So it's our land, we can do whatever we want, right? And
but he can't really have it both ways. I get that side, but also if you just look at a map, they're in Moldova. He has 5,000 troops in Moldova, which is on the west of Ukraine,
the west border, the whole border.
He has 30,000 in Belarus, which is the northern border. He has more in Crimea, which is the southern border, and then he has them all along the eastern border. It's like when you're playing Risk and you like surround a country. That's what he's doing right now. And you can say like, yeah, we're not going to do anything. We're just hanging out. But if you're just hanging out, then you don't really get it both ways. Then why do you get to make demands? If you're not going to do anything, then why do you get to demand that NATO's backs off and all that stuff?
And he is saying, he did mention just today that he's saying he's blaming us. He's saying it's like gaslighting. He's saying like we're the ones escalating it by talking about it or something. Like I don't understand what he's saying.
His reality is a little bit skewed, you know. I think he surrounded himself with people that are telling him one story where he is this great leader that is trying to right the wrong that was the fall of the Soviet Union, and he's trying to put together as many countries that Soviet Union lost during the fall of the USSR, right? Now, I guess he's trying to be remembered, right? Much like George W. Bush, you know, that he said that history is going to absolve me of all my sins. And I think maybe that's what Putin is trying to...
I think Castro said that as well. That was a big
Bush,
question.
Bush looked into Putin's soul once and said he saw a good man, right? In the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Bush was trying, Bush was trying to write the right. He wanted to go kill Saddam Hussein because his dad couldn't do it. Putin's doing the same. He's trying to put the band back together and get the USSR
vintage,
back together.
A lot of 80s
reunion tour.
Back
to the USSR.
He watched Get Back.
And when I say that the war is unlikely right now, it doesn't mean it's unlikely in a year or in 5 years, right? So Putin has done it before. So, of course, you can expect anything from this guy. So
you think it's just a bluff right now? He's just putting all these troops on the border to like send a message and not.
I mean, it's a game, right? It's just this game. This is the political game, right? So he does something. He looks at the reaction, and then he thinks, "Oh, what do I do next?"
Yeah.
But I will say that right now, you know, he wasn't sort of saying, "Hey, we're definitely going to attack." There were the actual, you know, verbalizations of his intentions weren't even that strict, so he can definitely go back on his words and say, hey, we never were going to attack. Why are you guys overreacting?
Yeah,
you're right. It's kind of like gaslighting. Be like, you see, the West, they won the war. Ah, we're the
that's what they're saying, right? Over there on RT and their propaganda and everything.
It was one big misunderstanding.
Yeah.
So, it's like the USSR. They never wanted the war, although the Soviet coat of arms had the whole planet on it. You know, so they were gonna liberate. Yeah, they were gonna liberate the whole planet from capitalism, and to them that war was called liberation. So Russia looks at it the same way. They're trying to liberate, you know, me and the Ukrainians, you know, so that
they're trying really hard to liberate you, Misha. They keep trying. Exactly.
And what happens? I mean, if he does go to war, because you've told us before that the ultimate, you think that if Putin goes down, then probably Lukashenko goes down, right? If Putin loses power, then Lukashenko loses power, because the only one supporting him in Belarus is Putin. And then who do we talk to? I mean, there's Balkan countries that are highly supported by Putin that they might fall as well. I mean, it could be like...
No. The Balkan? No. Like Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, they are very much... They're part of the EU and they want nothing to do with Putin.
I was thinking of Bosnia. Was I wrong on Bosnia?
I could be off
on that.
But, yeah, maybe like Serbia or something like that, but marginal influence. Yeah. Definitely not.
And then Hungary. I don't know much about Hungary. They got some crazy guy.
Very marginal influence. Nothing like it was during the Soviet Union with the satellite countries. So I would say I would say EU has more influence there than Russia.
Okay, so more really just Lukashenko.
I mean, the thing with Russia, they have really big interests in Germany, right? Financial interests.
Right.
And in Europe. That's their sort of, they
have this pipeline in Germany. the Nord Stream pipeline we've talked about before. And that's what I was going to ask. That's the one play. If Germany hasn't been cooperative so far, right? I know my news is a week old, but I don't think they've cooperated yet as far as they're still going ahead with the plan, right? They're still getting
energy. Explain what you're talking about.
There's this pipe as a pipeline that's going to come from Russia through underground, like the Keystone pipeline was going to be in America, and it's going to deliver energy to Germany and France, correct? And we've been there's been some pressure on Germany that they should, you know, say no to this right now. Shouldn't be working with Russia.
Pressure from the West.
From the West, exactly. But that's why I was joking. They said, we'll send helmets to Ukrainians in case they get into an army, into a fight. But we don't want to, their economic issues are in, they need the energy. They need the oil, the gas, whatever. So that seems like the only card the West can play without other than war, right? To really get Putin's attention.
Yeah, I mean, it's just Putin, he spends just exorbitant amounts of cash to buy high-level politicians like Gerhard Schröder, the ex-counselor of Germany. He has a Russian passport, and he's a major stakeholder in the, I think, Gazprom or something
Gazprom,
like that.
Gazprom, the gas company, yeah.
One of them
said that I heard them. They even called Ukraine a failed state. It's not their problem. It's like not Germany's problem. Sure. And I don't know. Is Ukraine? You're there. Is it a failed state? How's it functioning?
Well, I think his meaning was that it's this country was sort of as sort of a consequence of certain political happenings of the 20th century. Because, you know, it does have a Western part. It just has a lot of like Russian speakers, and they're like kind of Eastern part is very much sort of Russian leaning, right? Then the center has cultural differences, and then the West is like way different. So it's just a conglomerate. Right. That's why, see, they're having all these issues that Belarus doesn't have, because Belarus is more or less homogenous. We've never had these like language differences or but here there's a lot more chaos and the differences in people sort of having differences of opinion. So, I mean, it's an energetic place, you know, a failed state is, you know, Afghanistan, right? They don't even have just basic.
Or New Jersey.
Sanitation.
Right. Yeah, I don't think having a different cultures and religions and languages makes you a failed state. It just makes you like a multicultural state.
No, right. Well, and having support from other countries doesn't make you failing. I mean, it makes you.
Right. And it's a young democracy, right? Yeah. I mean, Zelensky is not the killing it, you know, but
he's an early. Yeah, he's the first comedian president. Give him time.
Right. And honestly, what is Ukraine if not a metaphor for everybody's life? We're all a little bit of Ukraine, and it's just each one of us is the Ukrainian president. He tries his best, but he just fails every time. You know, well, it's 6-1, and they just fail. And everybody fails in a little bit of a different way, you know? So I think they're going to figure it out. It's like the iPhone, you know?
Yeah. It takes time.
On the 23rd iPhone is going to be the best.
Ukraine was not built in a day, exactly. They said. So is there any chance
14S is going to be the bomb?
Of course. Is there any chance that this whole thing could end up good for Ukraine? Because like Boris Johnson is there right now saying he's giving £88 million to Zelensky to stop corruption and try to get them off of relying on energy from Russia.
Yeah, well, listen, there's somebody's going to benefit for sure. In Russian, we say для кого война, для кого мать родна. For some people, it's the war. For some people, it's the your own mother. You know, so some people are going to make a lot of money. Boris Johnson gave all this money. Who's going to get it?
Explain what that means. Some people, it's the war. Mother, your mother? I don't get it.
Well, some it's the war to you, them. But some people, you know, to you, it's an invasion of Afghanistan, right? But yeah. For Halliburton and fucking Dick, what's his name?
Cheney,
right?
Shout out.
Dick Cheney.
OG.
You know, for him, it's the fucking payday, right?
Wait, Dick Cheney don't make money. Bad about the father of Liz Cheney.
Liz Cheney's a hero right now.
She's a real hero. His daughter has somehow become like a liberal hero.
Wait, really, speaking of his Hunter really? Biden, why don't we send him over there?
Is she trans? An expert?
No, her sister's a lesbian, but that's
she's like the one Republican who has the guts to speak out against Trump.
and the insurrection. She's the one Republican is the guts to speak out against it.
Yeah, people trying to take over our country from the inside.
Yeah, so essentially, I mean, as you know, war usually, I mean, war is terrible, but then every country gets rebuilt after a war and there's a baby boom, blah, 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 blah. So in that sense, in that global sense, we can, but of course, and no, then but I'm saying, there's like, a lot of...
there's a baby boom. I like that.
Even a non-war...
Long-term, look at it.
Even a non-war is helpful. I mean, like, what I'm saying right now, the best case scenario is the war doesn't happen, but Zelensky now becomes this global politician. Everyone knows his name. He has the ear of Boris Johnson and Joe Biden. You're shaking your head. No, am I wrong here?
Well, listen, you, if you saw his comedy, you would know that he's probably a shitty president. You know?
See, who would you compare him to as a comedian? Yeah.
Is he a hack?
Yeah, I'll go.
Disappointing.
Yeah, he's not good. I'm not gonna name
like
any
Dane Cook.
Is a joke stealer.
Dane Cook would be one of the good presidents of Ukraine. You know? I need somebody who's a
Carrot
little
Top.
Bit, no, Carrot Top. Actually, I kind of like him. Let's go with Carlos Mencia. Boom.
Oh, he's that bad. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's from that world, not the true comedians, but from the world of show business.
Does he do black people do this, white people do this jokes? Russians drive like this.
He doesn't have an act. All he did was these sort of, it has nothing to do with stand-up. It's just
like a YouTube
humorous comedian. Yeah, but back where when
humorists are the worst. I hate when they say like I'm a humorist. Like who's that lady?
Humorous, yeah.
Aren't they the who's that lady in New York that everyone loves? Kaplan,
Amy Sedaris, or who do you
know? The old lady, but she's never done stand-up.
Oh, the one from the movie with Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, I want to kick that lady down the curb. She doesn't do stand-up, but somehow in New York City, people think she's a comedian because she's like, isn't the subway crowded? And everyone's like, it is.
I know who she is. Yeah.
And they think she's a genius.
She says some interesting
Fran Lebowitz.
But yeah,
Fran Lebowitz.
Next president of Ukraine, Fran Lebowitz.
Get on stage and do stand-up if you're so funny. She's never done stand-up. Anyway.
I don't think she claims she took to be a stand-up there. Comedian, though.
No, but she claims to be a humorist, which that term should not exist. That's all I'm saying.
If she claims that, that's ridiculous. But I don't think she does. I actually quite like her.
She sucks.
I like her style. You know what I mean? I like, dude. That's what I want to do. All I want to do when I grow up is what she does. You know, I want to be the old man. You know what she
but
does?
But she just points out super man, obvious right? things in New York City. She goes, Turner the buildings are so tall, and everyone goes, "That's true." She's
Turner hates old New York shoes.
No, she's got a style to it. You know, you're right, but the way she does it, I mean, I quite like it myself.
All right. Well, that's the end of this
disagree.
Show. No, I'm kidding.
If you believe in Fran Lebowitz, you just go. Turner's done with Ukraine. Let him have it.
I'm now on Putin's side.
Yeah, we should say that since we're talking about people on the left, what they like. I was thinking like the one war, like if Biden does go in and send troops, I feel like it's the only war the left in America will support because Putin has become because of the Trump years, it's like boogeyman. That nobody cared about. Everyone hates him so much over here. So like, I wouldn't put his past.
Your left. I do not understand anymore because I used to be a liberal. You know, now I don't even know what. Seriously,
we're anti-war.
Just as a joke, I say I'm a libertarian. People get up and they leave. You know, so
yeah,
and then I go, hey, I'm also gay. I'm please. Come back.
That doesn't just help anymore. The left hates Pete Buttigieg too.
Yeah, they don't like white gay guys.
Yeah, white and gay is not. That's not trans enough. You need to be a trans minority.
I basically go, yeah, I'm a. If gay doesn't work, I go, I'm a Belarusian refugee. Anything? Come on.
Oh, you're white.
Gay Belarusian refugee.
You're not a real refugee. You're not a POC refugee.
Yeah, if you're white, you're not a real. You're only. And in this country, you're just a cisgendered white man.
A privileged refugee, we call you.
A privileged refugee.
Yes. A POP or POR.
The country has been set up for you to succeed.
Yeah. So anyway, try again.
So I don't know. So it seems like maybe people, it is amazing to me that the two countries we've talked about, South Korea and we've talked about Ukraine, which is where countries that seem they're on the verge, seems like there's a wild country next to them that's about to attack them at all times. And in both cases, the people have the same reaction as you do. The people in South Korea, the same, like no one cares. Whereas in yeah. Western media, if you're only reading about it once every 6 months or once a year, you're like, oh my gosh, that must be so scary to live there. The people who actually live there just go on with their day.
But does the people who live closer to the border the same way? Would if you live like on those borders where the troops are, or you?
Yeah, exactly, Cap. Yeah, that's an excellent point, because we're in Kiev. You know, it's the most protected city, and it's still going to be a while.
Got time.
Even, but honestly, people are just remarkably unprepared. Everybody I talk to, they are not prepared. I am not prepared myself.
Because you have a gun?
Do you have?
No.
I was going to say, do you have milk? Because like, if it's a snowstorm here, my mom's calling. Did you buy milk?
Toilet paper?
Did you buy toilet paper? Are you prepared? I'm not going to leave that. So you got to be ready.
Wait.
There's a coffee shop downstairs. I don't
buy anything. Even if the Russians are down there patrolling the streets, you're gonna.
I hope it's still open, man.
Are the they don't shut down Starbucks?
Yeah,
the it's Russians neutral. Need coffee too. You know,
yes, it's like Switzerland.
Yeah, what? Are guns legal? Can the average citizen buy a gun?
Yeah, I think for the time being, I'm actually going to look into it or something. Actually,
I would get a gun. Point. And then do you think that if Ukraine gets attacked, are the average people going to flee or going to be like, hey, get out my shotgun. Let's go shoot some Russians.
Yeah, definitely the latter. Not like shoot some Russians, but definitely like, hey,
defend.
Get the fuck off my turf. Yeah, I mean, Ukrainians are very much like that, you know. They're very, I mean, that's why they've been having all these revolutions, because they don't take shit from nobody, you know. They're kind of like the Texas, they have this Texas vibe in that sense, which is something I really like about them. So no, it's if the Russians actually played old school, they're gonna just suffer badly, and it might lead to the end of Putin and the whole regime and everything, and then it's who knows what's gonna happen. Basically, people are calm in a sense. They're just they have already a kind of in their head imagined what can happen, and they're just, well, there's no reason for me to sort of just sit there and be scared, you know, just live your life. So essentially, I've been going boxing and everything, because the, you know, Kiev has really good trainers and everything. So all I do is like stand up boxing, some Klitschko's projects that I have.
Isn't one of the Klitschko's your mayor? Is that the boxer?
Yeah.
Is that Kiev?
Yeah. The gym that I go to is really old school. It's got like Klitschko's face and like stuff signed by him. Cool. I'm getting trained by this like 7-year-old man. So
it's like Rocky. He's got the old Mickey's his trainer.
Yeah. So you do your thing, you know, you're trying to be in shape and at least kind of
get ready for the war
together, you know?
Yeah. I guess people aren't worried. They don't have to wear a mask or anything, right? People are over COVID, I assume, if they're ready for, if they're not scared of a war. It's
like, yeah.
Life goes on.
That's awesome.
Life goes on. And I've honestly, you've kind of followed me on this journey, right? So it's like a year and a couple of months now that I've been sober. And
you've had bigger issues in the last year.
Yeah, and these events, they happen. But in the end of the day, I've still managed to do my thing, be on stage, record videos, get a TikTok account, all that shit, dude.
Whoa,
TikTok. I'm killing
it. How do people
TikTok.
Follow you?
I told you. Just kind of add it in the bio or whatever you have. The description.
I will, but tell us. You can say it too.
Misha Kalin stand up. Just Misha _ Kalin. Yeah, I've got a few clips on. I do this new thing. I do my jokes in English and I do a voiceover in Russian. And vice versa. Actually, my son helps me with it. You were saying that the kids now, all they do is, you're right. I've recruited
my son.
He's 15 this year.
That's a great consultant for tech stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So so he's helping me out.
TikTok.
Yeah.
And what do people... go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and I pay him by letting him hold an iPhone, you know, while he...
And what do people think? Because we hear that, oh, like Zelensky said, oh, Biden talking about war, he needs to calm down. There is no war. We're not going to war. And then you hear like Germany tried, as Cap said, tried to send, said they could send helmets in case you guys got bombed. And everyone's like, F you, Germany.
The best German joke ever.
So what if the average person think of the U.S. trying to be involved and Germany in the EU or in the Europe? Or are they just thinking about Russia?
I mean, everybody pretty much hopes that the U.S. and the EU are going to help Ukraine somehow, or they feel like it's going to be enough. And honestly, if you look, just try to research all these like javelins and all the drones and all the other modern things that they have. I mean, they're quite effective. And the way, I mean, part of me wants to kind of, I don't know. We really now is a really interesting time in history, right? Because there's we haven't had these. I mean, on one hand, we have several countries that can just destroy the entire planet over and over and over and over again, right? Yeah. So we always have this possibility. So what if Putin just goes insane? Maybe, you know, he's getting some weird drugs or something, like, or like some weird Botox. They give him take a wrong syringe and it just... he just decides that he wants to just blow up the planet. I mean, can he do that? Probably, right? I mean, so it's just overall scary times, right? I've been, right? I mean, there's so many things that's been going on. The fact that the U.S. Left Afghanistan, like, and what's going on there now, I mean, that's weird too, you know. If we knew that that was going to happen 20 years ago, I mean, that whole story was, we were sold a whole different story, and see, now we're looking at what happened. So Ukraine is going to play out in a certain way, and we're going to look back and evaluate. But while you're in the middle, it's maybe even hard to kind of see the bigger picture, you know, because what I see is just essentially nothing. Stasis. People are just drinking beers and eating hot dogs and whatever. Like, honestly, nothing has happened.
Crazy.
Like nothing in the ether, nothing in the
air. It's the calm before the storm. I mean,
that's how Putin likes it. He says, eat those hot dogs, don't believe me.
Well, no, it's like, I get it though. What can you do at some point? You're like, mentally prepare yourself, and then you go, all right, if he comes, he comes. Get out the shotgun.
Also, they're used to it. Like, we're not, you know, America, we're very lucky here because we don't have, unless Canada's not attacking us. Mexico, we're not.
I mean, the last time we got attacked was Pearl Harbor. That wasn't even us. It was Hawaii. Everyone relax. This idea that we've been attacked. I mean, I guess we have 9/11.
9/11, yes. But that's not an invasion. So it's like, we've never had
a country. Yeah. It was a thing.
So we can't. Scary to us, but.
I think that's it. I think we're out of time, Misha. Thanks so much for doing it, man.
Yeah. Hey, thank you guys. And always a pleasure.
Everybody check out his videos. He's putting them up on social media, on Instagram. I saw, I guess on TikTok. I don't have TikTok, but look at this. TikTok the war. That would be a good way to go viral on TikTok.
You just keep moving to different war torn areas. Just keep.
Oh, dude, I was thinking about it, you know, just your last sort of stream or whatever. You just leave your phone and you just like, bye bye, everybody. And you leave and there's like a mushroom boom in the background.
And then you appear in a...
It'd be a sweet way to go.
Myanmar.
That's a sweet TikTok live or whatever.
You'll get that. A lot of hits. And then,
they go crazy.
Well, and then the nuclear war will be TikToks.
All right. That's it. Thank you. Misha Kalin, everybody. Check him out. Kaplan, what should we do?
It's time to get lost. And happy Chinese New Year.
Happy New Year. Year of the Tiger, everybody. Bet on the Super Bowl accordingly.
Yeah, good tips.
Year of the Tiger. And come see me March 11th at the Friars Club. Get tickets now. That's it. Get lost.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.